This is Decision 2006. Tonight, the Democratic debate for State Attorney General. And now, from Pace University, here's New York One political anchor Dominic Carter.
Good evening, and welcome to the Schimmel Theater at Pace University in Lower Manhattan. Tonight, we bring you the first and only scheduled debate in the Democratic contest for State Attorney General. It is being aired throughout the entire state, in New York City by New York One, New York One Noticias, and on WNYC AM 820 Radio, and of course, upstate on Capital News in Albany. R News in Rochester, News 10 Now in Syracuse, and of course, a warm welcome and hello to Buffalo and the Buffalo metropolitan area, where this debate is also being seen on Time Warner Cable. This hour-long debate is also on News 12 in Westchester, News 12 Long Island, and heard on public radio stations across the state. The journalists with me tonight on our panel are as follows. Rita Nissan of New York One News, Beth Furtick of WNYC Radio, Brian Taft of Capital Tonight, and Juan Manuel Benitez of New York One Noticias. Now, let's turn to the candidates. We welcome Mark Green. Sean Patrick Maloney. Andrew Cuomo. And Charlie King. All four candidates have agreed to the format of tonight's debate, so let's begin right away with one-minute opening statements. We begin with Mr. Charlie King.
Good evening. With a month to go, my campaign is a race against time, because many of you who are watching tonight do not know that I'm the only candidate in this race who has made education and health care his top priorities, or that I've been a people's lawyer my entire life. I've gone to court to protect the education of our children, to protect the homes of rural New Yorkers in land claim disputes. I've stood with the workers of Delphi and Buffalo and Rochester, and I've stopped slumlords from hurting tenants. But my life is not much different than many of you. I was raised in a small apartment in New York City, and I now raise my family in a middle-class community in Rockland County. I sweat my mortgage and my bills. I worry about the public school education that my two daughters receive and the health care of my mother. If you want an attorney general who not just fights these issues, but lives them, and who's a people's lawyer, and on day one will tackle the issues of education and health care, then I'm your candidate and I need your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. And now, Andrew Cuomo.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all the sponsors this evening. I think this is going to be one of the most important elections in years because New Yorkers are facing real problems from two fronts, a regressive federal government in Washington and a dysfunctional state government in Albany. To me, Eliot Spitzer's legacy is deliver results. Don't just talk about the problem, solve the problem. And that's what I've been trying to do all my life, starting as a criminal prosecutor, then working with the homeless, and then running a major cabinet department for Bill Clinton, where we fought these very same issues nationwide. We protected millions of consumers. We fought racial discrimination, bringing over 2,000 cases nationwide. We took on the NRA and gun violence, and we made a difference, and we cleaned up waste, fraud, and abuse. That's what I want to do as New York's Attorney General, if you're kind enough to give me the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Cuomo. Thank you, Dominic. And now, Sean Patrick Maloney.
Good evening. My name is Sean Patrick Maloney. I'm a professional investigative attorney. I worked directly with Bill Clinton for 3 years as a White House senior advisor. I had the highest national security clearance, and I ran an office of 100 people. In New York, I've run a business. I've raised 3 children. Before all that, I was a social worker with the Jesuits in Peru. I'm here tonight, and I'm asking for your vote because I want to do this job. And I have a plan to reduce violence against women by 30% in the first 4 years, to protect our kids online and nail the creeps who would stalk them, to crack down on the waste and fraud at Con Ed and the MTA and the crooked lobbyists who help them, to chase the deadbeat insurers who dishonor our heroes at Ground Zero, and to do the other things we need to do to protect ourselves, the environment especially, close Indian Point, end the abuse of eminent domain. And I believe Democrats need to speak tonight about standing up to the president on this war. And I believe we need fresh ideas, a new generation of passion and leadership. I'm Sean Patrick Maloney, and I'll be asking for your vote tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. And now, Mr. Mark Green.
Thank you, Dominic, and of course, New York One and WNYC and all the moderators for educating the public in a public election. It's indispensable. I'm Mark Green, and I'm running for Attorney General for one reason: to continue my life's work as a people's lawyer and a consumer advocate. Continue my life's work as a people's lawyer and a consumer advocate. That's not a slogan. It's a reflection of 35 years of having one client, no big corporate clients, one client, and that's you, the public. From when I was the head of the Civil Rights, Civil Liberties Law Review to when I was a young public interest lawyer in Washington, D.C., taking on the Nixon administration and General Motors and running the largest consumer lobby in Washington, to the 21 books I've written or edited, always on government, law, and protecting your rights. Finally, as the New York City audience would know, as your elected public advocate and the Consumer Affairs Commissioner running the largest consumer office in the country outside the Federal Trade Commission, always taking on big special interests and winning against tobacco organized crime. In this night and in this month, I will be comparing my record on the merits and based on public documents with Andrew Cuomo's, because an election is a comparison. And you are the jury, and I look forward to your decision.
Thank you, Mr. Green. I will now start the questioning. This is for you, Mr. King, but it's a question that I really have for all of you. Recently, Mr. Green, Mark Green, has been aggressively going after Andrew Cuomo, questioning his record as federal housing secretary. Not surprisingly, Mr. Cuomo's camp says these attacks are unfair. But another candidate here tonight also agrees, Mr. Maloney apparently, saying Mr. Green needs to, quote, come off the ledge. Mr. King, you served with Mr. Cuomo in Washington. Are these attacks unfair, or is Mr. Green raising points that are indeed fair game?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you and all the sponsors tonight for giving us the opportunity to present our views and our issues before New York. And for someone like me who is not as well known as Andrew Cuomo or Mark Green, this is particularly important to my candidacy. I think everybody's issues and everybody's record is fair game. I disagree with the way Mark has gone at Andrew on this issue. I think that Andrew has a great resume, but not for this job. I think that Mark Green has a great resume. I think Mark Green has a great resume, but not for this job, or not as qualified as me and Sean Maloney as well. They all have great resumes. They've all done great things. But I'm running for this office because of the priorities that I think that New Yorkers want. When we have people who are not getting the health care that they're entitled to under the law, we need to have an attorney general has a plan day one, and I do. I'm going to use the Deceptive Trade Practices Act to make sure that every New Yorker gets the health care that they're entitled to. Same with education. I'm the only candidate in this race who believes that you can use the office of the attorney general to improve the education of our kids. We have 400,000 kids trapped in failing schools. But, you know, again, I'll say it. I think Andrew's had a great public service career. I think that he's done a good job in what he has done. We can disagree on the issues, which we will, and then let the best person win.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Cuomo.
Thank you. Thank you, Dominic, and again, thank you very much to the sponsors. Look, everyone has the right to run the campaign the way they see fit, Dominic. Mark has announced a 30-day attack campaign. I choose not to do that. I choose to speak about a positive vision on the issues that affect New Yorkers. I believe we're turning off a lot of people with negative politics. I was writing a book trying to get young people back into government. One of the things they talk about is the negativity of the campaigns. So I choose not to do that. It's America. Anyone can do whatever they want, run whatever campaign they want. I want to talk about our record and what we have done and what I will do as the next attorney general. I want to talk about protecting consumers. We protected consumers in the largest purchase of their lives, Dominic, their home. Millions of consumers across this country fighting racial discrimination, 2,000 cases. We took on the NRA. We took on gun violence. We made a difference. We had an agreement that would have changed the way guns were manufactured and distributed in this United States. It only changed because of the Bush administration. So I want to talk about the record, what we did. Charlie was part of the team at HUD. We did a lot of good work. I'm proud of that. I'm going to stay positive. Let others chart their own course.
Thank you, Mr. Cuomo. Mr. Maloney.
Well, you know, being between these two gentlemen is like little like being in a UN peacekeeping force, right? Look, I've said Mark should knock it off. I think it hurts Democrats. I think it hurts Democrats when we... I'm sorry. I know this is a contact sport. I'm not afraid of that. But I think the attacks, I mean, have just gone over the top. And so that's right. I think Mark ought to knock it off. And it's not, let me just be very clear, it's not because I think Andrew Cuomo is the best candidate in this race. I don't believe he's the best candidate on this stage. I'm not even sure he's the second best. But that is not the same thing. That is not the same thing as not pledging to support the nominee of this party, should he be, and I will. And we got to come together as Democrats because we need to present a unified vision for why people ought to give us their votes and their money. You know, we're asking people to give us executive power back for the first time across all statewide offices in a generation. And we will not beat Jeanine Pirro and the Republicans with negative attacks. You might win this primary, Mark, but you will not win this election with that kind of strategy. I want to talk about ideas. I want to talk about passion. And Democrats have been too long silent on our ideas and too quick to criticize.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Mr. Green.
Well, Dominic, as you know, for the first 11 months of this campaign, I gave six major addresses on my ideas on health care, on how to corral HMOs, and on crime, on how to check for identity theft. I released two books on how each of you can defend your rights in court and how the Bush administration violates the rule of law. I released the most boring book that Charlie said he's ever read, 320 examples of what I've done as the consumer commissioner and the public advocate to save your health and save your money. The issue, of course, isn't positive or negative. Is what you're saying relevant and true? So is the following negative or substantial? The New York Times said that Andrew Cuomo's 203K program, which is to try to help create stable housing in low-income communities, it left 500 foreclosed homes pockmarking Harlem and Brooklyn. The Times called it a fiasco. The GAO said he had failed to review it. City Limits, very respected real estate publication, said it was the biggest housing scandal in years to affect New York. Those are public documents. If Andrew rightly wants to run on his HUD record, boy, he has to be open to scrutiny of the HUD record, not based on adjectives, but based on conclusions. And when the campaign for tobacco-free kids and a Senate committee and the American Lung Association said it was mind-boggling that he gave, in effect, $4.2 million for smoke shops on Indian reservations, they said that was wrong. And I contrasted that with my history of separating kids from tobacco ads. That's a comparison campaign that you deserve and you'll get.
Okay. Your time is up, Mr. Green. Mr. King, would you like a rebuttal?
Well, the only thing that I would say is that I think that the way any one of the four of us is going to win this primary is to talk about the strength of our issues and our ideas. And sometimes they don't get covered. And, Mark, unfortunately, I didn't get all the way through that book, but I plan to before the primary ends, I promise. But we all have good things that we've done in our records, and I would rather that we focus on those. Again, for me, education and healthcare is what I've been talking about. And to sort of drive down to the negative, the lowest common denominator, I don't think is constructive, and I don't think that it helps any one of us in the general election.
Okay, thank you very much. And now we go to our Rita Nissan for the next question. Rita?
Thank you, Dominic. This question is for you, Mr. Cuomo. One of your rivals says you are running more on your name than on your record. Your resume includes a political appointment as federal housing secretary and a failed bid for governor. Now you've set your sights a little lower by running for attorney general. Why are you more qualified than the three men on this stage, and when was the last time you prosecuted a case?
Okay. Thank you for the question. First of all, I started my career as a criminal prosecutor here in Manhattan under Bob Morgenthau, and I handled robbery cases, murder cases, larceny cases, and that was a great experience. The job of attorney general is different than the job of a district attorney, but it was a good experience. In terms of qualifications for the job as attorney general, when I was at HUD, we had 350 lawyers. HUD was a major cabinet agency that I ran for Bill Clinton, 350 lawyers, and the tasks that the New York Attorney General is charged with, we did many of them nationwide, protecting consumers. We took on big banks and insurance companies for millions of consumers across this country, fighting racial discrimination. President Clinton had the One America Initiative. We brought over 2,000 cases against discrimination. Taking on gun violence, we took on the NRA, and we made a difference, and we signed an agreement with Smith & Wesson that would have changed the way guns were manufactured and distributed. There were 20 lawsuits in the United States. We spearheaded a global settlement. Smith & Wesson signed it. It truly would have saved lives. The Bush administration rolled that back. And we cleaned up waste, fraud, and abuse. We took one of the worst federal agencies. We brought in the FBI. The director was Louis Freeh at that time. And we cleaned up the agency. To perfection? Of course not. But every objective source says we made significant progress, and that's what it's about. So I'll run on that record and those qualifications and those accomplishments.
Your time is up. So I'm sorry, we have to move on to Mr. Maloney. Okay. Do you think Andrew Cuomo has the right qualifications to be Attorney General?
Sure. Andrew's got a great record, and he should be proud of it. That's not what we're talking about tonight. You know, what we're talking about tonight is who's the best candidate with the best ideas and the most passion to do this work. You know, I think I'm the only guy on this stage who's sat across from a CEO, put him on the record, and asked him questions he didn't want to answer. In the last 3 years, I've investigated one of the nation's largest banks, about a $3 million investigation involving teams of attorneys, forensic accountants, and investigators. I investigated one of the world's largest gambling syndicates on behalf of a northeastern governor. And so I've done this work. If you want somebody who can investigate companies, that's what I do. But this job, you know, look, I say everywhere around the state, a resume is not a reason to run. It's just not. You know, we all got good resumes. What I care about is what are your ideas, what's your vision, what's your passion. Here's mine. Give New York a government as good as its people. Crack down on the corrupt public authorities, the MTA, the others that are robbing us blind. Get after Con Ed that is asleep at the switch while 100,000 people in Queens are without power for 9 days. And we got to do a lot of other things, but I don't think that that's about a resume. I think that's about whether you've got the independence and the passion to do this work, and that's why I'm here tonight.
Mr. Green, couldn't a good HUD secretary make a good attorney general?
Sure. The question is, who's the best candidate? On the comparison campaign, and I hope that doesn't get anybody very nervous, I'm the only one on this talented stage that's run a law enforcement agency. The Department of Consumer Affairs against, again, the largest consumer prosecuting agency in the country outside the Federal Trade Commission. And so for 3 years, I sued hundreds of businesses for fraud, like Elliot Spitzer. I filed the case federally that led to Joe Camel stopping to addict our kids. When the police department was racially profiling young black and Latino men, I asked for the data, got it, exposed it, and the rate of punishment of such police officers tripled. So I have done the exact kind of work I think that fits Attorney General. The question was about Andrew Cuomo's experience. He served for 14 months as a local DA when the obligation was to stay 36 months. So he left a little abruptly. Newsday on August 3rd, 2006, had an article by John Riley. documenting federal organizations, the Disability Rights Center and the Citizens Commission on Civil Rights, saying that the 2,000 number is a provable exaggeration, and that, in fact, he spent 20% less on enforcement, and the number of cases fell by 10%.
Sorry, Mr. Green, your time
is up.
And
that's according to Newsday. Yes.
Thank you very much.
It's curious.
Thank you very much. We actually have to go to...
Let's let Mr. Cuomo respond.
Well, just fact, it's curious to hear Mark quoting a Bush administration report to criticize a Clinton administration report, but I guess that's...
Okay. Mr. King? Mr. King?
Newsday is not the Bush administration.
Yeah, well,
John Reilly is
what
an
they were quoting,
journalist.
Mark. Yeah, but that's what they were quoting. They were quoting a Bush administration report. That's what the story said.
Not the Commission on Civil Rights, Andrew.
Okay.
I hope these guys aren't eating into my time because I got a little bit to say here.
I was going
to
say,
Mr. King, you did not run HUD when you worked there, so why are you more qualified than Mr. Cuomo?
Well, because of my record as a lawyer, and that's the big difference here. With all due respect to Mark Green and everyone else on this stage tonight, I don't think any of them have been in a courtroom arguing a case this century. I have. I've been in court protecting the educational rights of our children during this century, 2000 beyond. I've been in court representing the city of Sherrill. And residents and land claim issues. I've been in court on a number of issues. I do think, with all due respect to others here, that knowing how the courts work, knowing how to argue a motion, knowing how to be a people's lawyer makes a difference. And that's what I bring to this office. I may not have been up 30,000 feet in the air like some, but I've been right on the ground with the people, and they know that I will be watching their back when I'm the Attorney General for the state of New York.
Mr. Cuomo, just... quickly back to the original question, when was the last time you prosecuted a case? And if you have 30 seconds to respond to Mr. Green as well.
I'm sorry, the question was to me? Can you repeat the question?
The last time you prosecuted a case, that was the original question.
The last time I prosecuted a case was as a criminal prosecutor. Elliot Spitzer, by
Is
the way...
1984?
Yeah, but okay. The last time... Elliot Spitzer as Attorney General... Elliot Spitzer is Attorney General. I think if he spent an hour in court in 8 years, it was a lot. That's not the job. The job is supervising and managing attorneys. I've managed 350 attorneys, brought more cases than anyone on this stage, and I think that's what the job is about.
Thank you.
And thank you, Rita. And now we go to Beth Furtick. Beth.
Thank you, Dominic. My question is for Sean Patrick Maloney. Mr. Maloney, Elliot Spitzer has said he had to defend the state in the school funding lawsuit by the Campaign for Fiscal Equity, even though he disagreed with Governor Pataki. Do you agree that the Attorney General is obligated to defend the state in any case, or is there any case in which you would recuse yourself as Attorney General?
Well, thanks, Beth. Look, you do the job. You take an oath, you do the job. And, a lot of us are going to disagree with a lot of the state's laws. I think we got terrible education laws in this state. I think we got terrible Rockefeller drug laws in this state. I know we got terrible marriage laws in this state. And you know what? You do the job. And if you can't do the job, you shouldn't be on this stage. It's just that simple. And you'll hear people dance all around that and talk about why it's hard and they can. But look, Elliot Spitzer has set the bar on this. And I will follow that rule. You do your job, because if you don't do your job, the taxpayers are paying other lawyers to do what you ought to be doing. And I think that's wrong.
So if the state... if the state legislature and the governor signed a law outlawing gay marriage, would you follow suit and represent the state and defend the state?
Well, you may have heard of a recent court decision that already enforced the current state law that means we don't have equal civil marriage rights in this state. So, that's not a hypothetical. It's already the case. And I've said I'll do my job. Now, look, there's a terrific amount of discretion in this job. Elliot Spitzer didn't submit the same brief that Dennis Vacco would have submitted, the Republican predecessor. And I would not have submitted the same brief Elliot Spitzer submitted. I disagree with the arguments they made in that brief. So there's different ways you can do the job, but there is no getting around the fact that there is a job to do, and you take an oath, and you do it. You do it even when it's hard. We start putting our own beliefs in the place of the legislatures or the voters. I don't know any principled way to do this job except to do your duty.
Mr. Green, do you agree, or is there any case in which you would not want to represent the state and have to recuse yourself?
I half agree with Sean's thoughtful comment. The job is to represent the state. What's the state? Basically, it's the governor. What if the governor's wrong? So I will represent the state with the sole exceptions if I believe there's no statutory, constitutional, or moral basis to a case. So I marched with Robert Jackson for the Campaign for Fiscal Equity plaintiffs. But were I Elliot Spitzer, I would have defended the state because it was a close decision, and I'm happy they ruled in favor of the parents there, that they weren't getting a sound basic education. But to be specific, Bob Abrams said he couldn't represent Westway when he was asked to because he campaigned against it. When Governor Cuomo asked Bob Abrams to defend more gambling, Abrams said, no, I can't. The state constitution won't permit it. They got into a fight. I cannot defend laws against same-sex marriage or for the death penalty because I believe both positions are immoral. And I can't make the best case, so I'd have to ask someone else who believes in the death penalty and believes that same-sex marriage should be outlawed, because they will do a better job than I do, because if there's no moral or constitutional basis, I couldn't do those two.
Okay. Mr. King, do you agree? Do you agree with Mr. Green? Are there two cases or one case, any case in which you would not want to represent the state, such as the death penalty?
Yeah, I'll answer the question. But first, Mark, you were opposed to same-sex marriage just 6 or 7 years ago. So I want to make that point clear. Where your moral conversion came on the issue, I'm not quite sure. But secondly, what I would say, and I disagree with Sean, that you can do your job and not represent the government when it is clearly violating the New York State Constitution or the United States Constitution. You talked about, Beth, on the campaign for fiscal equity case, which is really dealing with educational resources into the city, New York City. It's been 13 years that this case has wended its way through the court system. I'm the only candidate on this stage who has said that if we were asked to defend the state in this continuing saga after the Court of Appeals has decided, I would not represent them. Enough is enough. Let's enforce the law of the state of New York.
Okay, so your turn, Mr. Cuomo. Is there any exception to defending the state?
You've heard shades of the reality, I think. The basic rule is you defend the state. That is the basic rule. That's the constitutional obligation. That's what you hold up your hand and you respond to. The exception is if there is an ethical dispute or an ethical reason not to do it. Frivolous lawsuit could be an issue of principle where you just find the defense repugnant. Those are the parameters. There have been attorney generals who have recused themselves for ethical reasons. On the CFE, I agree with Charlie 100%. This is a tragedy. This is the dysfunction of Albany at its worst. This is years of prolonged debate when we lost an entire generation of children. We do have two education systems in this state. And it's not public and private. It's rich and poor. And if you go to school on one side of town, you get a great education. And if you go to a poor district, you're going to get an inferior education. The great equalizer has turned into the great discriminator. And it's a great sin and tragedy for this state. Now, Elliot Spitzer has said that he will resolve CFE, the lawsuit. He will provide the funding, that he'll do it in January. I believe him. I believe he will. I look forward to working on that resolution.
Just to follow up, Mr. Maloney, Mr. Cuomo is talking as if Elliot Spitzer will be the next governor. But let's just hypothetically assume Governor X is elected and decides to keep fighting CFE, the Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit.
We have to assume it's going to be Governor Spitzer. All of us, I think, are in agreement on that.
Yeah, right. Hypothetically, let's say the next governor decides to keep defending the state on that. What would you do?
That's exactly right. Look, we don't know. Nothing in this life is certain. Absolutely nothing.
So would you side with the next governor if CFE continues to sue and there's no resolution?
You do your job. You do your job. You take an oath. You know, look, I work for the President of the United States, and I saw him every day. There were things he did that I didn't agree with. It was his job, not mine. And the job of writing the laws in this state belongs to the legislature. And if you don't want to do that job, you know, you can run for governor. You can run for the assembly. But if you want to be the state's lawyer, then you take an oath. You do the work. It's just that simple. And let's be real about what we're talking about here, because most people believe Elliot Spitzer will be, and most people believe that the case will be resolved. What we're really talking about here is whether, for political reasons in the course of a campaign, you'll take an easy position so you can get some support. I think that's wrong, and I haven't done that.
All right, well, thank you.
If I can just jump in for...
quickly, Mr. King, quickly.
You know, I'm going to take the oath of office as Attorney General, Sean, on January, and I actually respectfully resent the fact that you would say that by me saying that I would not support the state in a case that's been going for 13 years, that somehow I'm violating my oath of office. This case has been going through the court system for 13 years. I'm the only candidate on this platform who has a plan for education and the only one who said that I will enforce the law of the state right now, which is that we must enforce the Campaign for Fiscal Equity decision. You're tap dancing around the issue, Sean, by not saying that you would defend the state in this issue, on this case.
May I respond? I think I was pretty clear. I think I said I'd do the job. I think
what does that mean to do the job?
Gentlemen, in the interest of time, I have to step in. You can continue this when you get to ask your question a bit later. Thank you so much, Beth. And now we turn to my colleague, Brian Taft.
All right. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming. My question is for Mark Green. And since you have all opened the door on the death penalty, let's probe this issue a little bit further. As you all well know, New York's death penalty law was ruled unconstitutional, effectively rendering that punishment dead in New York State. If the governor and the legislature were to move forward in trying to reinstate or draft a law that would pass constitutional muster, and you were the attorney general, would you provide legal guidance to make that law pass constitutional muster and to further what you said earlier about the death penalty? Does that mean then, since you wouldn't defend it, would you outsource it, the case, if you were to defend it?
If I thought that I couldn't do a good job because I so didn't believe in a case because it had no constitutional basis, or I regard it as for religious and personal reasons as immoral, I just think it's immoral to use the death penalty when so many people have been wrongfully executed. You cannot exonerate someone who's already dead. It doesn't deter. It's expensive. And so, and I think the same with, I want everybody to enjoy the same blessings and love that my wife and I enjoy, irrespective of your orientation or gender. And so I couldn't deny those equal rights to others. So outsourcing, it means that somebody else who could argue it more authentically than I. So on the death penalty, this is not so hypothetical. If Elliot Spitzer is the attorney general, and we all think he will be, he favors the death penalty.
Governor.
And so I think, twin states like North and South Carolina, North and South Dakota, often one has and one hasn't the death penalty. The murder rates are higher in states that have the death penalty than that don't. And the Innocence Project has shown over 100 times in those few cases where we have DNA evidence, how people are wrongfully convicted. I'm a friend of, and in the past has been supported by Barry Scheck, and I will let someone defend the case who can be more capably do it because of my belief system. But you can't do this frequently. Bob Abrams did it twice. I gave two examples. So, Sean, you're wrong when you say you can never do it. What if the Attorney General asked you to do something?
Mr. Green, we'll come back.
Constitutional. You'd have to use your judgment as a lawyer under the Code of Professional Responsibility.
You'll have an opportunity for rebuttal at the end. Mr. King, if we could pose the same question to you, because you also have expressed your opposition to the death penalty, would you defend a future death penalty statute to make sure it passed constitutional muster?
I am strongly opposed to the death penalty, but if it were the law of the state, I would defend it. But I think that there are better ways to go after violent crime than talking about the issue of the death penalty. And when I become Attorney General, one of the ways that I plan to go after violence in our communities is to go after gang violence. You know, a lot of people think that that's just an issue right here in New York City. But those of you who are watching in Rochester know that you had 8 deaths in 8 days due to gang activity last month. We've got 10,000 gang members and 42 gangs in Nassau County. In our schools, 25% of them have gangs, and that's a big issue for violence in our schools, 194,000 incidents in public schools of violence and disruptive activity. So rather than talking about the death penalty, let's talk about really dealing with the issue of getting violent crime out of our communities and off of our streets. And I've got a plan to do that by using the Organized Crime Division to target gang activity across the state.
Andrew Cuomo, as has been mentioned here tonight, Elliot Spitzer has said he favors the death penalty in particular instances of terrorists who are convicted and cop killers who are also convicted. First of all, do you agree with Elliot Spitzer in that particular position, and would you also defend the death penalty if it were to be challenged in the future?
Yeah, Brian, the short answer is no, I don't. First, the death penalty is something I've been fighting all my professional life. And, you know, people say they want the death penalty because they're afraid of crime. That's what the death penalty really becomes a proxy for. They're afraid of crime. They say, I want the death penalty. It is not the solution to the kind of criminal activity they're afraid of. At the Department of Housing and Urban Development, I worked on crime prevention strategies in the toughest neighborhoods across the country, coordinating the state and the federal and the local. It's not about the death penalty. The state of New York today does not have the death penalty. I spent the past couple of years organizing groups to stop the death penalty from coming back to New York. Frankly, I'm disappointed that the next governor, Elliot Spitzer, in my opinion, would propose the death penalty. I don't believe we need it. I don't hear a clamor for it. I don't hear people calling out for it. There's a whole body of research that has developed that shows we have made mistakes through DNA evidence. The Innocence Project has done brilliant work showing that we've made mistakes. And with the death penalty, one mistake is one mistake too many.
Thank you, Mr. Cuomo. We're out of time.
I'm against it, and I would work to oppose that in the legislature. Once it becomes law, however, that's a different question. Then the Attorney General's job is to enforce the law, and you can't pick and choose which law you would enforce unless it's an ethical problem.
So you would defend it. Finally, Sean Patrick Maloney, you said here tonight you would do the job. In this particular instance, what does that mean?
Well, look, it means do your job. I mean, I guess I'm the only person on this stage. Only in politics would that sentence be complicated to somebody. Look, I think I'm the only guy on this stage who thinks that Osama bin Laden deserves to be put to death. And I'm sorry that you disagree with that, Mark, but I got 3,000 reasons why it makes sense.
May I respond to
that? Well, may I finish my answer?
Sure, please.
Look, I think that in extreme cases, the state has a right to take life. I think that if you're talking about whether the Israeli government can take out a Hezbollah leader when they're getting ready to put on dynamite to a kid, send him into a pizza parlor, when you're talking about the guy who killed JonBenet Ramsey, guy who would sexually assault and murder a child, somebody who intentionally kills a cop or a firefighter in the line of duty, yeah. Look, I think that's right. Now, look, the law we had was terrible, and I'm glad it's gone. I don't believe it was racially neutral. I don't think it guaranteed that we weren't executing innocent people. And I don't think people got good lawyers. And I think the biggest problem is we can't get it right. And so I don't know that a state that does get it right, and in that sense, you got to move very cautiously. But I'll tell you what, I mean, look, this gang in Albany can't keep the lights on in Queens. They shouldn't be throwing the switch.
Okay. Quite a bit for you to respond to, Mark Green. Feel free.
It is so over-the-top demagogic to say that people in this audience wouldn't want Osama bin Laden dead. I saw the plane 5 seconds later after it hit the World Trade Center. I was 40 blocks north. I don't need an education on what Osama bin Laden has done to our city, our country, and all of us. During wartime, you try to kill the enemy. And if Israel is responding to Hezbollah, kidnapping two soldiers without provocation, you bet they can kill Nasrallah or those who attacked Israel during war. But the minute there's a ceasefire, are you going to tell me an Israeli soldier should go in during peace and kill Nasrallah or presumably execute them before trial? I believe, Sean, in a jury trial. And it's outrageous to presumptively try to kill people except during wartime. Look, 6 times more black and Latino men were executed for the same offenses as white men who were defendants. It is not racially neutral, and we have an experience where America and South Africa until recently...
Mr. Green, I'm sorry,
Russia,
we're out of time,
the only countries that have the death penalty, and I think America should aspire to higher.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. And now we go to my colleague, Juan Manuel Benitez.
Thank you, Dominic. And we've all heard his name, Elliot Spitzer. Mr. Keene, many agree Elliot Spitzer was really successful in going after Wall Street. But in your opinion, why wasn't he as successful in cracking down on Medicaid fraud? And if elected, what would you do differently?
Well, first of all, you're going to hear a lot of comparisons between all of us with Elliot Spitzer. And I have the most like Elliot Spitzer. We're born 3 days apart. We went to competing schools and universities, and we both went to Harvard Law School. He attended Harvard, and I visited for a day. But we both went to Harvard. The biggest problem that Eliot Spitzer had in dealing with Medicaid fraud was Governor Pataki. And my advantage when I become Attorney General will be that I will have Governor Spitzer working with me on dealing with Medicaid fraud.
But Governor Pataki wasn't the Attorney General. It was Eliot Spitzer.
That's right. But in order to do a good job right now, you need to have the Department of Health actively engaged in working with the Attorney General's office to make a difference. This is a big issue. We've got, conservatively speaking, $5 billion of Medicaid fraud. When I become Attorney General on January 1st, I will increase the Medicaid fraud unit, number one. Number two, I will use the computer models that can identify this fraud so we can go after the easy fraud first in the first few months of office and then go after the more complicated fraudulent schemes that we have out there so that we can bring this money back. But in addition to dealing with Medicaid fraud, again, I want to talk about health care. My father passed away from cancer 12 years ago. Miss him to this day. But it's not an exception to the rule when it comes to health care, what my family has gone through. So that when I become Attorney General, I'm going to make sure that everybody gets the health care that they're entitled to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Cuomo, do you think Eliot Spitzer did a good job on this issue, Medicaid fraud?
I'm sorry, the issue of Medicaid fraud, again, is one of those symbols of the failure of Albany writ large, in my opinion, the dysfunction of the state government. It's a double whammy. First, it does, as Charlie suggested, there are a lot of New Yorkers, poor New Yorkers, who need health care, and that's what Medicaid is supposed to do, and Medicaid fraud prevents that, and at the same time, it passes the burden on to the taxpayers. This is an especially big problem in upstate New York, where the Medicaid is passed on to the county. It's exploding property taxes, which is making a bad economic situation worse than upstate New York. So it is a terrible problem. It's going to be a priority for the next Attorney General. We've all proposed a legislative package to help make the situation better, a False Claims Act for New York, modeled on the Federal False Claims Act, which I used in Washington. It's very effective.
But that hasn't passed the legislature.
No, and the difference in my approach is I'm not waiting for Albany to pass legislation. I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. Go in, clean the program today. I did this at Housing and Urban Development, which was, frankly, larger and more complex than the Medicaid program. It was 30,000 vendors, a $30 billion budget. And we went in, and we brought in the FBI, and we did electronic audits for the first time. We did enforcement actions.
Thank you, Mr.
The contractors understood, and the culture changes. And you can do it, and we can do it for Medicaid.
Thank you. Mr. Maloney, did Eliot Spitzer do a good job in fighting against Medicaid fraud?
Yeah, look, you know, I come from a big Irish Catholic family, and my dad used to come home and would give him grief about one thing or another, and he'd say, you know, you kids, you know, I could walk on water, and you'd say I can't swim, right? So, I mean, look, Eliot's been a terrific attorney general. Could he do more on this? Yeah, you bet he could. He could. He's done some great things. I think we can do a lot more on Medicaid fraud. And the things that Charlie and Andrew mentioned are important. But I think it's also important to remember that this system exists for a reason, and one reason only. You know, that powerful special interests in Albany are getting paid. You know, the Medicaid system has become a honeypot for every big lobbyist and special interest you can imagine. And so it doesn't just take better laws. It doesn't just take better enforcement, though we need both. It really takes the independence and the passion to fix this problem because it is way out of control. We are way behind every other state. We know the solutions. What's missing is the independence and the determination to get it done. That's why I'm in this race, because I'm tired of listening to politicians talk about why we have problems. We all know why we have problems. The difference is you're going to talk about it, you're going to do it. And I have a plan to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Mr. Green, the same question. What would you do differently?
Eliot's done a good job in a bad situation. Governor Pataki and the Department of Health have to refer cases to the Attorney General for prosecution. They referred 37 cases last year out of 400 million claims. They've done 97 audits out of some 400,000 vendors. So the Attorney General couldn't do the job because the originating agency failed. 6 months ago in the New York Times, I wrote an article explaining why we need a False Claims Act that I've had in the city and now we need in the state. But I'd like to go beyond that. Healthcare is the number one issue. When I'm asked how would any of us be different from Eliot Spitzer, I would like to do more on health care, which includes cracking down on Medicaid and HMO fraud. HMOs are great organizations if you don't get sick. And then the premiums you've paid don't entitle you to the doctors you need. I have gone after Mount Sinai when they lied about fertility clinics.
Thank you, Mr. Green. We're out of time.
If I could just one more sentence.
Sure.
68 times I've gone after hospitals and drug companies and doctors for fraud. I have a record on health care, and I don't think any of my rivals could equal it.
Thank you, Mr. Green. You want 30-second rebuttal, Mr. King? Because you were talking about creating a unit.
I was talking. I think I'm the only one who's actually said exactly what I would do first
day
in office.
And do you think what you were talking about wouldn't mean more bureaucracy? And do you think that's going to solve the issue?
No, you're not going to have bureaucracy in my office of attorney general. You're going to have people who are hungry. We're not going to feed them much. We're going to have people who are active and ready to make a difference on day one. That's why we're going to have this increased unit of the Medicaid Fraud Bureau to do this. And we're also going to use the computer models that can identify the fraud on day one.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just add, and we just on the specifics, my good friend Charlie King said no one else had a specific. Yes, it's increasing staffing. I also want to enroll the DAs. Every county has a district attorney. I want to enroll the DAs in this project. They're there. They haven't been bringing these cases for two reasons. They're difficult cases to bring initially, and I proposed having a revolving loan fund where they can actually be funded up front for upfront costs of the case and share in the returns at the DA's. And I think that would, if we have the DA's offices working and making these cases also, it would be a tremendous addition.
Mr. Green, quickly.
I do think that's an extremely bad idea. Important as Medicaid fraud is, DAs are going after pedophiles and murderers and robbers. And to balkanize what the Attorney General does and have 62 DAs, which are under budget pressure, pick up a part of it when they have no experience is foolish. What we need is a False Claims Act so there are thousands of individual whistleblowers who come forward, report fraud against vendors because they get 10% to 30% of the gain. That's not a taxpayer expenditure. Let DAs prosecute murder.
Mr. Cuomo, yeah, quickly.
If I can.
Can I have a 30-second?
Yeah, could
okay.
I? Mr. Cuomo. If I can, 1 second, Sean. Just on the facts, DAs do now bring Medicaid cases. They don't bring many because they're difficult cases to bring. Mark says that he thinks it's a bad idea. DAs like Joe Hines, Brooklyn DA, who's a foremost expert at one time in Medicaid fraud, actually ran the Medicaid fraud for the state of New York, became the national model. He said if there was a revolving loan fund to fund the investigations, that would be a good thing. D.A. Clark from Erie County, who runs the DA's Association, said the revolving loan fund to fund the upfront would be a good idea. And then they'll bring the cases in their discretion.
The other 60 DAs haven't.
Okay. Gentlemen, any further comments, you have to make it during your time when you get to ask your question. So now it's time to move on. We're going to give the candidates, this is going to be interesting, an opportunity to ask a question of one of their opponent. The answer will be limited to 90 seconds, and I will try my best to make sure that there's no rebuttal. So we will begin with Mr. King. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you. Andrew.
That's Sean.
Andrew. During the course of this campaign, I have raised the issue of race and ethnicity and how it affects New York and how we've been divided in ways that we shouldn't. And interestingly, there's not been an issue question asked about the issue of race or improving race relations or relations between people of different backgrounds. And that's been a part of my candidacy throughout the time that I've been running. Will you join with me and come with me to have a town hall meeting where we can talk in communities of color about the issues of race, discrimination, all the issues that affect communities of color? I promise there won't be any personal attacks. I won't talk about your receding hairline. We will have just a conversation on the issues. You can put your best foot forward. I can put my best foot forward. Will you join me in that meeting?
Well, on the receding hairline, Charlie, my brother likes to say, I don't have a forehead, I have a five head. After this debate, I'm headed for a six head, I think. On the issue of on your offer, and I agree with the sentiment of it, as you know, I believe that one of the fundamental issues underlying everything that we're talking about, economic development, health care, education, it is the issue of race. And we've both seen this all across the nation in our work. That is the common denominator, and that is an issue. And it's unfortunate we didn't get a chance to discuss it yet this evening. And it's also an issue that I enjoy talking about. And a big part of the campaign is talking to New Yorkers, getting their ideas on the issues that matter. Sometimes, as we've discussed on occasion, these formats are not the best to have a prolonged discussion on complicated issues, short formats, negative attacks. But I would be I would enjoy that opportunity. We could set up a forum that works for you, that works for me, and let's talk about real issues with minorities.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Cuomo, it's your turn to ask a question.
Well, I'm going to ask Charlie King a question then, as long as he put me on the spot.
I have hair.
Yeah. No comment. We have been in a primary contest, and sometimes in a primary, in the heat of battle, people say things and the rhetoric gets a little hot. But I think at the end of the day, that which unites us is stronger than that which divides us. And you did take some cheap shots. That comment about making fun of my basketball game, that was a cheapie, and it was untrue, Charlie, by the way.
It was actually for your father, not you.
But I think what's important is that we make sure the Democratic Party does not hurt itself and that we do not allow Jeanine Pirro to become the replacement for Eliot Spitzer. That would set the state back. If you win the primary, you have my word that I will work night and day 100% to support you to make you the next attorney general. Do I have your word that if I win the primary, you'll be with me 100% to be the next attorney general, defeat the Republican candidate?
Did you say night and day? Look, we've had a very vigorous campaign. We've got a month to go. All of the people on this stage are my friends. They're all qualified to be the Attorney General, you as well. I believe that I'm the best candidate. Again, talking about the issues of education and health care, I'm the only candidate in this race who says that when I become Attorney General, I will use the Office of Attorney General to get gangs and gang violence out of our schools, to use the Tweed Act to prosecute corrupt school officials, to enforce the No Child Left Behind law so that every child can get a good education and the free tutoring that they're entitled to under existing law, and to target every failing school in the state so that parents know that if your kid is not getting an education, you can come to my office. And so I said it's a race against time. I hope people support me. I believe I'm going to win, Andrew, but if I've been wrong before, if I'm not the candidate and it is you, I will support you 100% most days, all nights, or all nights and most days.
Thank you, Mr. Cuomo. And now, Mr. Maloney, it's your turn to ask a question.
Great. Well, my question is Andrew, I've heard you say tonight that, you know, your campaign is about ideas. And, you know, I've defended you in the face of Mark's negative attacks. So I guess my question to you is, if the campaign is about ideas, if it's about Medicaid fraud and gun violence and education, and I guess it's a yes or no, will you commit right now, right here, to doing a debate with all four of these candidates on each of these subjects over the next 3 weeks? Because I think the people in New York deserve it.
You know, Sean, I believe the campaign is about communicating with voters and talking to New Yorkers about the important issues. And I think each of us has to find the best way to do that. The governor's race, they had two debates because they made the determination in the primary between Spitzer and Swazi that was the best use of time. And then they find other ways to communicate with voters. And that's what I've decided to do. Two debates, just like the governor's race. And then I want to find other opportunities to talk to voters about their issues on their timetable without the attacks and at length. Wordy guys like me have trouble with this one-minute timeline. So I'll be doing forums all across the state, and I'll be communicating with the voters. But thank you for the offer.
So no more.
Okay, Mr. Maloney, thank you. Mr. Green, it's your opportunity.
Thank you. Facts aren't negative or positive. Facts are stubborn things. And whenever I've raised issues about Andrew's HUD record, always quoting public authorities, instead of answering, Andrew has sent out staff and surrogates to hurl insults back, always saying that they don't want to be negative. Well, I'd like at least one accountability moment, Andrew, since you're here. In 1996, President Bill Clinton signed a law requiring every federal agency to reduce pesticide use because it correlates with brain tumor and cancers, especially among young children. Elliot Spitzer, in 2003, issued a report saying that the Department of Housing and Urban Development had not complied with the law endangering children. Then Elliot Spitzer and five other attorneys general sued HUD in court, it's still pending, including for the 4 years that Andrew was the secretary, saying that he didn't comply with the federal law. Now, if Elliot Spitzer, who you cited nine times last night in our town hall meeting, and who you say is a model, basically has to go to court because you failed to comply with the law endangering children, why should people vote for you to succeed your model, Elliot Spitzer?
Okay, so the point is the record at Department of Housing and Urban Development. Let's talk about the facts.
You were there.
Okay, let's talk about the facts. When you are in charge of a major cabinet department like Housing and Urban Development, you're in charge of the lives and safety and well-being of millions of Americans all across this country. We fought the issue of gun violence because women in public housing were having their children sleep in bathtubs because they were afraid of bullets coming through the windows. We protected consumers on the largest purchase of their lives, their homes, because I've seen too many families lose their home and lose everything. So the mission was critically important. On the performance while in office, I was assistant secretary for 4 years. I was then promoted by Bill Clinton to become secretary, one of the youngest cabinet secretaries in his administration. I was virtually unanimously confirmed by the U.S. Senate, Democrats and Republicans. Bill Clinton says that the performance at HUD was one of the most successful and dramatic reforms of a federal agency in modern U.S. history. Vice President Al Gore said that we turned HUD around and it was a great success. Harvard University gave us awards on the innovations in government. Price Waterhouse, Booz Allen, big accounting firms all attested to the success of the performance at HUD. Did we fix everything in 4 years? No, of course not. And we never claimed that we did. But did we make significant progress? Yes, we did. On the pesticide lawsuit, Mark, I didn't even know. I believe that that happened after I was there, but I'll check.
If I could, there you go again, Andrew. For 4 years, you didn't enforce a law that Bill Clinton signed. And my source, I hope this doesn't upset you, Sean, is Elliot Spitzer. The Attorney General of Rhode Island said it was disgraceful that you didn't enforce the law. The Attorney General of Connecticut, Dick Blumenthal, the Dean of Attorneys General, said that your lack of enforcing that law poisoned children. Your website says you'd continue the lawsuit if you were Elliot, if you're the Attorney General. Does that mean you'd be suing yourself as plaintiff and defendant?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Green.
I believe the pesticide lawsuit was brought after I left
including
HUD.
All 4 years.
There was no suit
while I was there by Elliot Spitzer.
The lawsuit
Spitzer,
covers
right?
the years you were there.
All right, but there was no
the
suit brought. Okay.
You know,
okay.
Dominic, I have two small girls. What I usually say is we can turn this car around right now if you two don't behave.
Okay.
And by the way, Mark, you've done very well in this campaign to treat me with respect. You don't need to patronize me when I make a serious point about what your negative attacks are going to do to the Democratic Party this year.
Okay. Gentlemen, I thank you for the question part of asking each other a question. And now we move to the lightning round, where only the question can be answered with a yes or a no. And I think all four of you know that I will strongly enforce this, okay? So let's get right to it. Beginning with you, Mr. King. Did you ever watch Law and Order?
Yes.
Mr. Cuomo?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Maloney?
Loved it.
Sure.
Mr. Green? Okay, we'll start this round with Mr. Cuomo. Do you want Hillary Clinton to be the next president?
Yes.
Mr. Maloney?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Maloney, do you want to be governor?
No.
Mr. Green?
No.
Mr. King?
Say yes.
No.
Mr. Cuomo?
No.
No? Okay. Mr. Green.
Is there a lie detector test here? I just want to make sure.
Did you feel a sudden shock, Andrew?
I thought that was you.
I want some veracity here.
I apologize, Mr. Green. Mr. Cuomo, I couldn't hear your response.
Not anymore.
No.
Was the
okay,
answer.
I got you.
Tried that. Been there, done that.
Mr. Green, in California, should Mel Gibson have done some jail time for alleged drunk driving?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Cuomo?
Yes.
Mr. Maloney?
Yes.
Mr. King, should public employees like police officers and firefighters be allowed to strike?
Yes.
Mr. Cuomo?
No.
Mr. Maloney?
No.
Mr. Green?
No.
Mr. Cuomo, have you ever been ticketed for speeding?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Maloney?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
I'm an adult.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Green? Yes. Mr. King?
No.
Where's the lie detector?
Mr. Maloney,
that's why you're always late.
Are random subway searches by police legal?
Yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Cuomo?
Yes.
Mr. Green, did Elliot Spitzer ever go too far in the prosecution of any of his cases in his war on Wall Street?
No, he's lost some.
Mr. Green?
No.
Mr. Green? No.
No.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Cuomo?
No.
Mr. Maloney?
No.
Okay, Mr. King, have you ever not tipped a waiter or a cabbie?
I don't know how to answer.
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Have you ever not tipped?
Have you ever,
not tipped?
Yes or no?
No, tipped. I've never not tipped. So I've always tipped. Oh. It's confusing.
Okay. Mr. Cuomo.
Yes, I have
tipped. Yes. Yes or no?
I have not tipped. So yes.
Okay. Mr. Maloney.
I was a waiter for years, never stiffed anybody.
Mr. Green, was that a yes or a no?
I don't know. Give me what you heard that
Mr. Green.
No, and Jenya, Joan, and Denny are here as witnesses.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cuomo, we're almost done here. About 8 more questions.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Have you ever voted for an American Idol contestant?
No.
Mr. Maloney.
No.
Mr. Green.
That's a tough one.
No. Mr. King.
Yes.
Mr. Maloney, have you or your spouse or domestic partner ever hired anyone off the books for any services in your home?
No.
Mr. Green.
No.
Mr. King.
No.
Mr. Cuomo.
No.
Mr. Green, have you ever downloaded music illegally?
No, because I didn't know how to.
Okay. Mr. King.
No.
Mr. Cuomo.
No, no.
Mr. Maloney.
No.
Mr. King, would you support profiling in airports to screen passengers?
No.
Mr. Cuomo.
No.
Mr. Maloney.
Not racial profiling, no.
Mr. Green.
No.
Mr. Cuomo. This is a good one.
I'm sure it is, Dominic.
Better than that tip one, Dominic? Was
Mario Cuomo the best governor of New York?
Yes. That's an easy one.
Mr.
You know that.
Mr. Maloney. Mr. Maloney?
No.
He's thinking.
Mr. Green?
No.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Three last questions, gentlemen. Mr. Maloney, are you a good cook?
Yeah, great.
Mr. Green?
One word answer?
Yes.
Lousy.
Is that a yes or a no?
What do you think, Dominic?
Mr. King?
No.
Mr. Cuomo?
No.
Mr. Green, in the supermarket, do you ever read those gossip magazines or the gossip pages in the tabloids?
Absolutely. And
is that a yes or a no?
The answer is yes, and I enjoy it.
Okay. Okay. Mr. King?
Only when Andrew's in them.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah.
It's a no, no.
Mr. Cuomo?
No, because I'm afraid I may be in them.
Mr. Maloney?
Sure, and I'm here to tell you Tom Cruise's baby is real.
Okay. Should the state... I'm a little tongue-tied, gentlemen. Mr. King, should the state use eminent domain to take away private property in downtown Brooklyn or anywhere else for private development? Anywhere else for private development?
No.
Mr. Cuomo?
Yes.
Mr. Maloney?
Not until we get it right, no.
Mr. Green?
Yes, the Kelo case says yes.
Final question of the night, gentlemen. Mr. Cuomo, beginning with you. Have you used mass transit in the past week?
No.
Mr. Maloney?
Sure, yes.
Mr. Green?
Tonight and always.
Excuse me?
Tonight, already, coming here. I take mass transit.
So that's a yes.
I'm the subway Democrat,
yes.
Dominic.
Okay.
The answer
is
yes.
Mr. King?
Yes.
Okay. Gentlemen, we are done with the lightning round.
Yay.
And so now, gentlemen, I need you to make your closing statements as fast as possible because we have gone over our time tonight. Mr. King.
First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to address all of New York tonight. And there are differences between the four candidates in this race. I am a people's lawyer. I believe that on the first day in office, when I'm Attorney General, that I can start to use the existing laws to change how we improve education and how we deal with health care, among other issues. But if you believe in my candidacy, if you believe that you want someone different that you can have hope in when they become elected to office, I urge you to support my candidacy now. I urge you to tell friends about my candidacy. Again, my name is Charlie King. I'm running for Attorney General. I would be honored to be the next Attorney General for the state of New York with your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Andrew Cuomo.
Thank you. Thank you, Dominic, and to all the participants today. At the end of the day, it's very simple for me. Politics and government is about the fight for justice. Criminal justice, but social justice, economic justice, and racial justice. Standing up for the little guy on the big fight and getting results. Getting results. I believe government can do that. I learned from Mario Cuomo that government can make this state a better state. I learned from Bill Clinton that government can make this nation a better nation. Next January, we have a new team going to Albany. There is a moment that is ripe for change, and we desperately need it. I want to be on that team as Attorney General so I can fight for you to make this state a safer, cleaner, fairer state for my children, my Cara, Mariah, Michaela, and for yours. With your help, I can get there. I ask for your support. I won't let you down. I thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Andrew Cuomo. And now, Sean Patrick Maloney.
You know, 60 years ago, Eleanor Roosevelt said, "This is no ordinary time, and this is no ordinary election. The ice is breaking in Albany. We can change our state, we can change our party, but we have to have the courage to change." You know, the risk this year is not that we lose this election. The risk is that we win this election and don't change anything. You know, Proverbs tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision matters. So here's mine. Give New York a government as good as its people. Fight for the innocent and the vulnerable and put the law on their side. And fight back against this president in Washington and this conservative menace. You know, we were great once. We are great in our hearts. We can be great again. But we will not find greatness in the echo of something that came before. We must move forward, and we must have the courage to change. I'm a professional investigative attorney. I'm a former White House advisor. I'm a parent. I have a passion to do this work, not just hold this office, not just get the title. I want to work for you. I'm Sean Patrick Maloney, and I'm asking for your vote on September 12th. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sean Patrick Maloney. And finally, Mr. Mark Green.
Thank you again, Dominic and questioners. I've never been an Albany insider, never made millions from business clients, I've never been in housing development. What relevance actually do those things have to being Attorney General? Let me talk about what's relevant and true. I've been the head of a consumer law enforcement agency, and there's a consumer frauds bureau in the Attorney General's office. I helped stop the Brooklyn incinerator, and there's an environmental bureau in the Attorney General's office. Been a national leader on corporate governance, and there's a securities office in the office of Attorney General. I've reduced racial profiling because of my lawsuit with Laurel Eisner there, who's in the audience, and there is a civil rights bureau in the office of Attorney General. There's no housing bureau in the office of Attorney General. Andrew, you're running for the wrong office because governor wasn't open. I'm running for Attorney General because I really want to be Attorney General, not as a stepping stone, but as a destination. And if you and if Andrew's people will just calm down for a second, it's all about the job you've done for the job you're seeking. If you think I've done the work, I'd be honored if you elected me to the job. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Green. Quick reaction, Mr. Cuomo. You want to respond?
You know, Mark Green has been attacking people for many, many years in politics. Geraldine Ferraro, who's a great New Yorker and is here today and is endorsing me. Senator Chuck Schumer, Fernando Ferrer. I would rather talk about my positive ideas. There are too many big problems in this state, Dominic. People need too much help for us to waste time with bickering on this stage. Let's talk about New York and their problems. Let's make a difference and let's get to work.
Let me agree, Dominic. Andrew.
Quickly, Mr. Green, quickly.
Let me agree with Andrew, which is why I've released my speeches and books. But I'll tell you, if Elliot Spitzer had to sue your agency because of the years you were there, is that negative or is it relevant?
Okay.
I leave it to the voters.
Okay. I thank the four candidates for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
And I would like to thank my colleagues, our great panel, for taking part. That concludes tonight's debate. And on behalf of the stations carrying this debate statewide, we would like to again thank the candidates. And, of course, we would all like to thank Pace University and its president, David Caputo, for allowing us the use of their facilities here. We will see you on August 30th for a statewide town hall meeting in the governor's race right here at Pace University and three other locations across the state. Thank you and have a great night.